Hello and welcome to Mama Moon's Journey. I'm your host, Emily Luna. Today, I'll be talking about the recent complexities of motherhood, from finding time for yourself, being present, and parenting adjustment. So sit back, relax, and prepare to hear the real. Welcome back, listeners, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Mama Moon's Journey. Wherever you're listening from, I appreciate you, and I'm excited to kind of get back in the swing of things with podcasting. So if you have been listening to previous episodes, you know that it has been quite a while since my last one. And to be quite honest, it's just because I don't have time. I really don't have time to do a lot of things that I want to on a personal level. And that's not because I, you know, don't have the ability to, in the real world. It's just more so of focusing my energy and my time into other things. So, I'm still working full time, still being a full time mom, you know, that's never going to change. And just also just trying to figure out some things for myself, to kind of pour back into my own cup and my family's cup, as far as, just exploring different avenues for mental health and well-being, and physical wellness as well. So, yeah, it's been a minute, but thank you so much for listening. I really just want to dive into this episode and give a disclaimer that this is just going to be a very raw and real episode. I'm not going to structure it in any sort of way. I really am just going to go in with what's been happening and kind of give an update, I guess, if that makes sense. So here goes. I really want to talk about time for yourself, because that's one reason that there's been a delay in posting this episode and just having any content on my Mama Moon's Journey page. It's just chaos, you know. Being a mom of three is difficult. Being a mom of one, or a parent of one, I don't want to just exclude the dads out there, because Lord bless them, they can do some incredible work too. But I just have not had time for myself as a mom of three. And I find that it's because I'm trying to put a lot of energy into teaching my girls how to do things, managing daily routines that I think are very important, but they often get derailed by anything. It could be that, you know, I stopped serving them goldfish crackers because, you know, they really aren't that good for your teeth. Or I asked them to brush their teeth, in fact, which is something we do daily, but for whatever reason, you know, the moon is out or something and they don't want to, or whatever it is, someone's feeling under the weather, or maybe mom and dad just don't have enough energy to deal with the level of energy that the kiddos have. So it is very hard to find time for yourself. It's very hard to make time to do things that you enjoy and not things that your family enjoys. So for instance, you know, I find myself saying, oh, well, I love, you know, spending time with my kids and watching TV. When people ask you, you know, when you get those random and rare interactions with other humans that happen to be at an adult level, you know, and they say, oh, well, what do you like to do? Oh, I like to, you know, relax at home and watch TV with my kids. Okay, when you say that to me, what I hear, and this is from experience, is I like to have some quiet time every now and then while we all sit on the couch and me and my husband watch Cocomelon as the kids like finally calm down and watch something. And that's very hard to deal with. It's very hard to have things that you consider being for yourself when they're really for, you know, other people around you. And in my case, that's my kids and my family, my husband, who often is looped into the same activities, and I'm using air quotes, time for ourselves that we define now, which is really for the kids. You know, we put all of our time and energy into our kids, which I love, and I'm glad that we're very focused in that way, but it is hard to make time for yourself to do the things you truly like working out. All those mamas and dads, or people in general that get up every morning and go to the gym, I salute you. I would love to go to the gym, aside from the fact that I live in the middle of nowhere and there is no gym. Even just going for a walk outside in the morning is like impossible, because getting up in the morning, we have our routine where we get my oldest ready for school. I go ahead and try to get coffee going, which I know like sounds silly, but like the 2 minutes that it takes to fill up the pot of coffee, put the grounds in the filter and do all of that, like those are precious minutes that I'm wasting in my mind, you know, because I still got to do hair. I've still got to make lunch. And trust me, I've tried the things where I make the lunch the night before. It still goes back into the kids, you know, it's something that I'm like, okay, I've got to put this time and energy into my kiddos and making sure that they're successful for the day or the next day, whatever it is that I'm doing. So it's just really challenging to even take a few minutes out of the day for yourself, let alone blocks of like 30 minutes to hours, you know, it's crazy. I don't know how people do it. But again, I salute you and I see you out there doing the damn thing. So I guess all of this is to say that finding time for yourself is difficult. And I have found recently that when I'm like, oh, well, I just want time to myself to do something that I enjoy, I try to incorporate the kids into that, because then I know that it's possible. So like if I do want to exercise, let's just use that example. If I do want to exercise, I try to incorporate the kids, or I try to, you know, get them motivated doing something else that they can, you know, kind of be self-sufficient while I monitor them, you know, from a distance and do my thing and they can do their thing. And in that way, I'm making time for myself, but I'm still being near them. I'm still interactive with them, and it's good. Another example is like reading a book. I joined a book club. Shout out to the Queen Sessions. I see you and I thank you so much for including me on this, because I needed it. But I joined a book club with the intention that I would make some time for myself, almost by force, because if other women are holding themselves accountable to read a book and to, you know, do some exercises or whatever it is within that book and have a discussion, you know, periodically, then I've felt like I could hold myself more accountable because other people are doing it too. Lo and behold, I have not started the book. It is like almost 2 months into being in this book club and I have not started the book. How terrible is that? And I say that that's terrible, but I'm also trying to give myself a little bit of grace. Like I have been slammed with work. I literally just want to watch Law and Order SVU when it's on, or The Good Doctor, or one of my other garbage TV shows like Starcy. Oh, I say Starcy and Daisy, but it's Stacy and Darcy, whatever. Anyways, I want to just have that time to just, you know, not have to think. And reading in my mind requires me to think and actually process words on a paper. And I want to do that, but I just haven't gotten there yet because by the end of the day, I'm so drained. And again, it's not a negative thing, because that all of that energy is going into my kids, going into my husband. And seriously, like I love him to death. He is MVP, because if I didn't have him, I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm just going to be honest. I am not a super mom, by any means. My husband is a great support. And if I didn't have that support, it would be very challenging for me, because I do struggle with my mental health. And to be completely honest, I don't know that I would still be here without him. And that's, you know, I know that's a little bit deeper and, you know, not as uplifting as many people probably want to hear, but like, I do struggle a lot with my mental health, you know, and I'll touch on that in a moment, but it's just, it circles back to like finding time for yourself, whatever your situation you're in, is important, because if you are not okay, it is going to be very difficult to continue on doing whatever it is you're doing, being a mother, being an employee somewhere, very career driven, or just being your own person. If you don't make time to put energy back into the things that you love to do, the outlets that you have, it will take a toll on your mental health. And once that declines, it's very hard, as many people know, to get out of those spaces once you're there. So it's hard to make time for yourself, but you need to find ways to do that. And like for me, finding those ways is just doing what makes me happy, which lately has been, you know, homesteading, like trying to transition to a homestead lifestyle. I'm not fully committed to like the homeschooling and all of that because it's just not the best circumstance for us right now, although I wish it was, and maybe it will be in the future. But I really just enjoy like doing things that I know will sustain our lifestyle, like having chickens. You know, you will put more money. Everyone's like, oh, you'll save so much money on eggs. Eggs are so hard to find lately. Okay, well, calm down, Karen, because you're not going to save any money. In fact, you're going to spend probably close to $2,000 or more, depending on how, you know, extreme you want to go, on chicken feed, chicken coop, supplies, all this stuff you probably don't need, buying the chickens. Yeah, it's going to add up. So just be aware. You're not going to save money at all, but it'll be fun, you hope, if your chickens like you. But yeah, that was a little tangent. But yeah, homesteading has been like a good outlet for me. And that's how I've been making time for myself. I've taken less time to be on social media because I am busy, you know, tending to my farm animals or trying to like start a garden or, you know, finding like home remedies or, you know, things like that that are going to be more natural. Like that keeps me busy, but it's busy in the way that I enjoy. So that's just, you know, one way that you can kind of make time for yourself, at least something that's worked for me, and it could work for you too. So find something you're passionate about that might be a little bit of work, but you feel the gratification of, you know, whatever reward it will yield. So just a little tip on that. But I guess before I go on to like being present, I do want to talk about the mental health piece because it is so important. I struggle with mental health, and, you know, I'm not ashamed of it. I used to be ashamed of it. I used to not want to talk about it. I felt like it was a weakness and, you know, it was just very difficult. And I actually started therapy a few months back and I only did 5 sessions. Everyone's different. Some people might need a more lengthy treatment plan. Some people may not need therapy at all. I do think a lot of people should just get it just, you know, to see if it is a good option. But don't be afraid of it. Like there's no shame in seeing a therapist, seeing a professional, that can help you dig through the mental things that might be weighing on you. It can be very healing for you personally, and it can also help you heal the people around you if that's something that you're interested in. So I started therapy a few months back, and I actually completed my program, and I'm using air quotes. No one can see what I'm doing, but I'm using air quotes. But I completed my program, and I addressed some trauma from my past, some sexual abuse trauma from my childhood, and you have no idea how much things like that, like I was like, you know what, that was, you know, years, well, like over a decade ago, you know, oh my gosh, almost 2 decades ago. That's crazy. But anyways, that was almost 2 decades ago. And it's actually coming up in my life in ways that I never imagined, like my intimate life with my husband. Not that there's any problem there. I mean, haha, we have 3 kids. He must be doing something, right? So sorry if anyone from my family's listening, but you know, we're all adults here. But anyways, like it was actually affecting my intimacy with my husband, not in the way that I didn't want to like engage with him or that things weren't good, but it was just like I mentally didn't have energy to be intimate. And I'm not just talking about sex, but more just like holding hands and kissing and hugging, like just those physical moments of affection or being intimate in the way like me opening up about my struggles. Like I felt like I needed to keep it really compressed during certain periods of time. Or, you know, there was just different struggles. You know, I could go on and on, but I noticed struggles with intimacy in my marriage and also with like my social life. Like I started retreating from people and having these moments where I just didn't want to be around people. And I still have those moments. It's a work in progress. But my mental health was impacting that. And then it also just impacts like your ability to parent or just, you know, function at work. Like I was finding myself very distracted. There would be moments where I felt like I just needed to have myself a good cry, but like I would just keep bottling stuff up. And, you know, it was just making it very challenging. So I saw a therapist, dug through all of my childhood trauma to a point where like I told her, my therapist at the time, I told her, I am not willing to relive everything because what's happened has happened. Me reliving it is not going to change anything. However, I do want to understand why I'm having some of these triggers in my intimate life with my husband, my social life with friends that I'd like to have, or just family members. And also like my parenting abilities, because some of it was spilling over into being a parent. Like some things that Layla does, or, you know, my other two girlies do, like little things that you wouldn't think would be tied to any sort of like mental health struggles, but like certain things would trigger me and it would go from like 0 to 60. You know, I'm not talking like, oh, she's called my name like for the 50th time. I'm talking like she would start crying over something that was valid. Like her feelings are valid. You know, she goes through different things. She's starting to have experiences, but my oldest would cry over something and it would just trigger me. It would feel overwhelming. I felt like I had like, you know, air blocked up to my neck. Like, I know that's not like a weird way to express it, but I just felt like so tense and so rigid and so overwhelmed when she would just cry over things that I was like, this is not a big deal, you know? And then later on, I would feel bad that I got triggered and maybe told her like, you know, you need to go to your room or like, just stop crying. Like there's nothing wrong. And I would feel bad because I'm like, wow, I'm dismissing her feelings. I'm being triggered by something that I really don't know why I'm triggered. And, you know, it took some, discussion with my therapist to understand like why some of those triggers might be happening. And it was really helpful. It was really insightful. She, you know, mentioned that maybe some of the triggers that I had were tied to the age that my daughter is and that being around the same age that the sexual abuse happened for me. And again, like everyone's situation is different, but like I would have never thought about that. Like she's like, well, how old were you when this happened? How old is your daughter? It sounds like you're getting triggered because of, you know, X, Y, and Z, or maybe because the age is similar, or you're having these fears because of this, and that's causing a trigger, and you're not associating those two. And then once I was able to identify that, the triggers lessened, and I feel like I was able to be more present with my oldest and my other two, of course, but she's the one that's at the, like, at a different level of development right now, so I'm just fixating on that. But anyways, like getting through like that mental health piece and trying to find ways to cope and work through some of the issues that I had has led me to be more present with my kids. And being present is important, not only with children, but with the people around you. Like when you're on your phone and you are at a, you know, a gathering, a social gathering, or someone's trying to have a discussion with you and you're scrolling on your phone, even though you may not see it as being like rude, or you're like, hey, I'm listening to you, but I'm also doing something. To me, that translates to you don't have time for me. You don't have time to just simply engage with me on a level of maybe talking about something that is important, or even talking about something that is completely meaningless, but we're having a discussion, we're having a social interaction. But if you're distracted on your phone, or you're distracted by other things, like you're not holding space for me. And that just makes me not feel like, one, we should be having this interaction, or two, like I'm worthy of an interaction with you, if that makes sense. So I think being present is very important because it speaks volumes to the people that are in your social life, your inner circle, your personal life. You know, you may not realize it, but being present can make a difference, not only for other people around you and those relationships that you have, but it can also make a difference for you. Like, let's be honest, how many times do you find yourself in a day scrolling on Instagram? I don't think a lot of people use Facebook anymore, but like Instagram, you're watching Reels. I know a lot of people are in a TikTok. I don't have it personally because, you know, I don't even have time for anything regular, but you know, you find yourself scrolling and you're like, oh, I just watched a few Reels, or I just looked at my feed for a few minutes, and really you've probably spent like 30 minutes to an hour mindlessly scrolling. And for me, that time spent could easily go back into my family or to myself. Like, instead of me scrolling through other people's things, wishing that I could cook that meal, or wishing that I could go out like that person, wishing I could get up and go to the gym like that person, I could have spent that time doing just that. I don't know. Everyone's different, and I'm not trying to knock anyone that uses social media or anything else as kind of an outlet to just decompress. Like, if that's what you like, that's okay. But for me, it has taken so much of my time. It has decreased my ability to be present with the people that I love and the people that I care about. And so that was just something that I recognized, and I was able to kind of, I don't want to say cut out completely, but I have decreased the distractions that I have that prevent me from being present, and I feel so much better. I don't have the mom guilt that I normally have, and I just feel a better sense of purpose in my work. I don't feel distracted. I feel a better sense of purpose with my husband, with my kids, and with myself. So being present is important. So however you choose to do that, I think it's something that you should evaluate and take a step back and just focus on. The last thing I want to talk about today, because I could go on and on talking, you know, about the complexities that I've been dealing with recently, and I know everyone else is dealing with their own things, so I'm not here to preach my issues and say that, you know, I have these big problems. I know that there are bigger problems out there, but you know, I really just want to tie this whole podcast episode off with parenting adjustment, because this shit is hard. Excuse my language, but this shit is hard. It's hard to get up every day and take care of other people. And yes, we are the ones that signed up to be parents. So please, if I have a Karen listening, or Susan, I'm going to say Karen. I like Karen better than Susan. If I've got a Karen that's listening and you're about to say, well, no one told you to go have them babies. No one spread your legs wide open and made you get pregnant. No, no, you didn't. All of my kids were a choice. I wanted to get pregnant. I did the thing, you know, it was nice. It was enjoyable. And here we are, three kids deep and happily living in chaos. But it is hard to be a parent. It's hard to wake up every morning and know that you have to take care of three individuals, and trying to perfect that routine and that maintenance of their lives and your life. Like, it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to just dress yourself in the morning and do your hair in the morning and be on time to wherever it is you have to be, whether that's being at work or maybe showing up to an event, or it's challenging. And for anyone to say that it's not, like, I'm so glad you have it figured out. But it's not everyone is at a high efficiency level of others. You know, I'm definitely not. So parenting is very difficult. And I think it's important to understand that there is no rule book. You know, everyone says, I would never let my kids watch the tablet. I would never let them watch my phone. They will never watch Cocomelon. They will never eat fruit snacks with all the red and yellow dyes. That's great. I'm glad that you feel that way. I used to feel the same exact way. I said my kids would never eat McDonald's. Here we are every freaking week, and I'm sorry, this is true, and I hate to say it, but every week when we go to run errands in town and the kids are with us, like we all go as a family, we are getting McDonald's. You know why? Because that's a treat for them. They like chicken nuggets. They like French fries. I cannot stand McDonald's, but here we are, and I'm finding myself settling for a hot and spicy just because I'm hungry too, and I don't want to stop at a second place, and the kids will enjoy McDonald's. Now, that's not to say that they won't eat other things. Like, we are not the type of parents like, oh, the kids only like McDonald's, so we're only going there. You know, I know that's difficult for the parents that do have to deal with that, but our kids love variety. They will eat pretty much anything. But a guaranteed quick and easy meal is McDonald's Happy Meal or the freaking 40-piece nugget bundle that we can all share and eat in the family as we drive on to the next thing we're doing or we're going home. You know, when you're not a parent, you don't understand the battles that you're going to have to face. And you think, oh, I'll be able to control this and it's going to be fine and it's going to be perfect. It's going to, you know, happen how I envision it. And that is just not the case. If you are successful in, you know, doing everything that you envision yourself doing before you have a child, and then as you transition into being a parent, then that's awesome. Like, you know, congratulations. Like, and I mean that sincerely, but it is a challenge. You know, I never wanted to spank my kids. I've spanked them, you know, it's not something I'm proud of and I try not to, but it happens. And that sounds bad, but that's just real. Like, there's times I've gentle parented and it doesn't work. There's times I've tried to be stern, but still understanding and hold space for their emotions, and that doesn't work. And then I have a kid that's chasing the other with a pair of scissors from God knows where. I didn't even know we had that pair of scissors, but here they are chasing the other kid. And I'm sorry, I have to tell them no, and they want to throw a fit. You get a spank on the butt. I know that sounds bad, but that's the reality of it. And I think the problem is not a lot of parents talk about the failures of trying to stay true to a parenting style that you want and that you prefer. Like, I like the idea of gentle parenting, and there's so many different names for parenting styles nowadays. I want to hold space for my child's emotions. I also want to make sure that they understand that their actions have consequences. And I know I don't need to beat them into submission, which I don't. And I don't need to spank them to make a point, which I try not to. But there are some instances where we as people fail to follow through with certain things because it's hard or because you don't know what to do next. You don't know how to proceed forward. And so you go to what is familiar. So chances are, if your parents spanked you, you think that that is the solution. Whether you really believe that or not, in a split moment where you're like, I've tried everything, everything else has failed, damn the torpedoes, as my mom likes to say, and then you resort to spanking. You know, like, this is just a very general example, but it the same kind of thing applies for different aspects of being a parent, like feeding them certain foods. Like, you want them to have a robust diet, but lately they don't want to eat anything but cereal. I'm sorry, I'd rather them eat cereal than starve. I'm sorry. Or deal with a meltdown because they're saying that they're hungry and I refuse to, you know, make them a bowl of cereal when they really will not touch the food I put in front of them, you know? There's some things that you just have to compromise on, and you just have to be willing to flex and also adjust later on. So, you know, just remember, like, parenting adjustment is important. You are going to be a different parent in every different phase that the kids have. When they're babies, for me, baby phase is easy. Like, I love that phase. It's my favorite. Toddler phase is fun and exciting because they're learning new things, they're talking, you're starting to see personality, and it's you know, exciting. And then once we get into like the child phase where like they're starting pre-K or they're starting to go to school or they're having like social interactions with other kids and they start picking up habits from other kids and other households, or they just start, you know, testing boundaries, which is totally acceptable and normal. It is hard to stick to the same style. You're just going to have to adjust over time and give yourself grace for making those adjustments, because it's, you know, that's just life. We have to be willing to adapt and just try our best every day. You know, I'm not a perfect mom. There are mistakes that I've made and I've learned from, and there are mistakes I will continue to make and I will eventually learn from, or mistakes that I will think is the right thing, you know, one day, and maybe tomorrow it won't be the right thing. I just have to give myself grace to know that I'm trying my best. I am trying to provide a good life for my kids. I'm trying to be a good person and instill good morals and values into their life. And most importantly, like, give them love and validation in ways that maybe I didn't have, or ways that I see that they need, even if I don't need it. You know, my daughter's love language is very physical, and I am not a very physical person in that regard, but I still make time and I still hold space to give her that love and show her that love in that way, because she obviously needs it. You know, growing up, my mom, I asked her, like, why did you let me cuddle with you? You know, I would sneak into her bed and I would just cuddle with her in the morning before I'd get up to get ready for school, or she'd get ready for work. And I would tell her, why did you let me do that? You know, like, now when the kids want to get in bed with us, I'm like, oh, I might be egging on a bad habit. And I will never forget when I asked her this. This was maybe a year ago I asked her. And she said, well, I just figured that you must have needed it. And I said, well, did you do that with, you know, your mom? And she's like, no, I don't remember doing that with my parents. But when you climbed into bed with me one morning, I just thought she might need it. So we laid there and I cuddled you, and then we started our day. And that was like such a validating moment, because I remember I wanted to feel close to her during those times. And she, even though maybe she didn't want to, she still provided me with that. She still fulfilled that need. So I try to do that in my kids' lives. My husband does the same. You know, we work together to do that. And it's important, you know, just be willing to adjust and adapt and give yourself grace when applicable. So I think that was like a bigger tangent on the parenting piece, because that's what I've been struggling with the most. I just hope it's helpful to share these experiences. I'm not looking for comments on, oh, you spank your kid. Oh my gosh. I don't like to, and it's very rare, but it has happened. And I think talking about it and sharing that vulnerability, you know, like, hey, I've failed. Like, my goal as a parent was never to spank my kids. And I've, you know, unfortunately not found a way to prevent some of my triggers from resorting to that. Or, you know, I haven't found a good solution that, you know, fits with certain actions, you know. And I think being real about that is important, because not a lot of parents do that. I have meltdowns all the time. Like I said, mental health is important. There was one day like a week ago where I just laid on the bathroom floor, because that's, you know, essentially what I think is a quiet space. And lo and behold, it isn't, because there's no lock on the door. I don't know what's wrong with our house, but the kids can still come in. But I went in the bathroom and I laid on the floor after, you know, my youngest threw some food on the floor, which, you know, she didn't do it to be bad. It just happened. And Layla had said my name for like the 50th time. And I just went into the bathroom and I laid down on the floor and I cried. And it sucked. And I had to get over it. You know, I don't want to say get over it, but I had to kind of work through those emotions and realize why I was having these emotions and really see them for what they were, and not just like, oh my God, when it rains, it pours kind of attitude. And I was able to get through it. But no one talks about those moments. If I post a picture of my kids online and, you know, I'm saying how great they are and how blessed I am to be a mom, that's true. That is real. For some people, it's not. But for me, it's real. But I am the type of person that I will also tell you about these negative experiences that I have, because I have seen other parents that don't share that side. And so when I struggle, I feel like I am the only one that goes through that. And I know it's not true, but when you have a social network of people, friends, family, acquaintances that you don't see struggling, or you don't get to hear about those struggles because people are embarrassed about it, or they feel like, oh, that's too vulnerable to share, you're just doing a disservice to the people that are looking around. You're not giving the full picture. And sometimes that can make other people's pictures feel like there's something wrong with them. And it's not. They're just on their own journey. And maybe there's some similarities and some overlaps. And it's okay to share those vulnerabilities, because you might make the difference for someone else when they say, damn, I am having a meltdown. I just cried for about 20 minutes over, you know, spilt goldfish. But I know that my neighbor has gone through the same thing. She's told me a story about that. Or, you know, my friend of 2 years, you know, shared that she's going through the same thing just in a random text today. Or I was having a conversation and someone was speaking about their struggles, and I let them know that I struggled with that 10 years ago when my kids were little. You know, things like that are important. So just keep that in mind. Be real, be human, and try to make a difference in other people's lives. I promise you, it is so nice to feel that you've at least tried to make a difference in someone's life just by being yourself. You know, I really enjoy that, and that's why I do this podcast. So, end of tangent. I really appreciate you listening in. And again, this was a very unstructured episode, but I just wanted to kind of let you know what's going on with Mama Moon. It's hard. This shit is hard. That's the title of this episode, I've decided. And just do your best every day. Get up. If you want to do affirmations, if you want to just take some moments of silence, if you want to meditate, whatever it is that you need to do, do it so you can get through, and that you can find new ways to heal and have mental and physical wellness. And do it at your own pace. Don't let other people's pace make you feel like you're under some sort of hard deadline. The hope is that you have the rest of your life, you know, to figure out what makes you happy, and that you'll do it at a comfortable pace for yourself. So, yes. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful day. And don't forget to continue listening in to future episodes. You can go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening on, and just keep being your beautiful selves. If this podcast was helpful for you, please do me a favor and leave a star rating and a comment if there's anything that you would like me to discuss, or just any feedback that you have. You know, this is really a platform for self-expression and, you know, just creating a community of mamas that are going through similar things. So thank you so much for listening.